Sometimes we make things too complicated. Oh, we didn't do the offering. Okay. Sorry, we're forgetting about stuff. So we're going to do the offering before we do the service. So ushers are coming on. Thank you guys for waving at me. I actually have some good news as we're getting ready to do the offering. So thank you, Jesus, for all that's happening. I'm Coach Jake. This is our idea here at Maywood, becoming the fullness of Jesus together. And I'm going to say a prayer for us as we're doing the offering. Jesus, thank you for what you're doing in our midst. And Jesus, you do things that we can't do, but you also let us have a part, and this offering is even a part. God, we want to honor you with these gifts, and we pray you guide the use of them as well. So in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So some really good news I have for us. Generation Church, Hispanic church that has been here for many years, they've had a dream of remodeling what used to be their old building that they were in a long time ago. And they bought the building back, but it just was real slow to make movement. And they finally got approval from the city, but it was still pretty slow. Well, I got to meet with Pastor Renee pretty recently. I think it might have been about a week and a half ago. This is a picture of Pastor Renee, the pastor of Generation Church, and I inside of their building. It's right there on Truman and like Ash, next to like car wash. And there's a whole crew of people working there, and it is looking way different already than the last time I was there. And making huge progress. Dwayne Hicks, if you're in the room, Dwayne has been volunteering as an architect with them, following in his father's footsteps in a lot of ways. There's Dwayne right there. And Dwayne's the only architect I know. I don't have a lot of architect friends, but my guess is that most architects don't have a lot of patience for jobs that take years to go anywhere. Like, it's a guess. But Dwayne has had lots of patience with Generation Church, and they're so thankful for Dwayne and so thankful for us as a church. And there's still months and months out from like finishing, but when I was talking to Pastor Renee, we were talking about how like our relationship between our churches, our brotherhood between our churches, like it doesn't stop when we're no longer meeting in the same building, right? That, like God has bonded us together, but it's a big victory for them. And Pastor Renee was also telling me, you know, just in the last week or two, they'd had 6 people accept Christ and have about 130 people coming to their church right now, and it's going really well. So very thankful for what God's doing there. So we're going to go into the sermon now, and thank you for bearing with us on the different flow today. But so this is one piece of something that reminds us of Christmas, right? The manger Jesus was laid in. A lot of times when we think of Christmas, it gets real complicated, right? My daughter got all excited to do a little paper chain of days till Christmas, and she keeps telling us every morning, there's only 12 more days, or there's only whatever more days. And she is full of joy, and I'm like, oh yeah, we're not ready at all, right? And sometimes Christmas has so much stuff around it. But Christmas, obviously we know, like Christmas is really about Jesus saw all of our problems, and he picked a slow way that involved a lot of humility and pain for him to come and be with us and to invite us to be different with him, right? Like, if you don't understand Christmas, like, that's what it's about. Jesus doesn't wave a magic wand and fix all the world's problems. He says the world needs help, and he comes as a baby to suffer with us, right? And then to invite us to go with him. And so if you got some big problems today, you might be wanting that magic wand, right? And I don't have it. Honestly, if we had it back there behind the piano or something, I'd bring it out, right? Like, I don't have it, right? Like, all I have to give you is the one that has done that for me, right? Like, he hasn't saved me from all my suffering and hasn't instantly fixed all my hang-ups, right? But I know that he understands. And I want to talk to you about one real simple thing about Jesus that Mary, his mom, knew. Of everybody God could pick that's ever lived, God picked Mary. And why? Well, we're going to look at something that Luke tells us about Mary. It's a real simple thing to say, and it'll change your life. And then we're going to be passing around the microphone here in a minute to talk about what does that mean to us? What have we seen, right? Okay. Some of you are like, oh no, all stressed. It's just going to be me with one microphone at least, so you'll know if you're in proximity. to getting called on, right? So here we go. Here's our verse. We're just starting with one simple verse, and we'll expand from there. Luke 1:45. This is John the Baptist's mom, Elizabeth, Luke says, was filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is God inspiring a person to speak and is talking about Mary. And she says, blessed is Mary. And what's so special about Mary? Who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Like, that sounds nice, and it sounds like move on. But when you're a teenage girl who's not married yet, in that culture especially, like, your life's got a lot of complications. And my guess is it hasn't been very long for you when you've been stressed or worried or concerned or hurt, and it was hard to believe and trust a promise from God. I guess it's been hard for me, and I can't imagine it's not been hard for some of the rest of us, right? Because when you believe like Mary, like, she's humble and willing to do the next thing that God's got for her, right? And for us to say, like, even if I'm afraid, even if I'm worried, even if I feel some other negative emotion, right? If God said something to me, I'm going to hold on to that and act accordingly. I'm going to take a step and trust that God's going to be there like he said he's going to be there. Mentor of mine, Joey, used to always say, God's the only one who keeps all of his promises to me. There's kind of like a sadness to that, right? Like, people disappoint us. We disappoint other people too, right? But Jesus always does what he says he's going to do. And so we had originally last week, I had a different plan for today. We're going to read this song that Mary says shortly after this, next verse or two. But I thought, you know, this is enough for us today to say, like, let's believe like Mary did right around Christmas. And then let's talk about what God's promised to Maywood. And so this next slide here, these are our vision passages. What does that mean? I'm fully convinced this is what God wants Maywood to focus on. It's two passages of Scripture. We're going to talk about them here in a second. And we're going to talk about what this picture is at the bottom. So here's these two passages. Every time I get together with a group of leaders, every time the serve team and the worship team pray on a Sunday morning to kind of kick off our Sunday morning, we always say these passages. And here's what they are. Jesus, his final words in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew is Matthew 28, 18 through 20. When he came to his disciples, it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. There's a lot of commands in there. There's footwork for us. There's stuff we're supposed to be doing. But there's a lot of promises in there too. Okay? We're going to talk about those promises in just a second. We'll do Ephesians, our next one. Ephesians 4, 7 through 13 says, but to each one of us, grace, talking about a gift, a piece of Jesus, has been given to us just as Christ apportioned it. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except for that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? The very one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature and complete, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. There's a lot to that, right? It doesn't say, as soon as you become a Christian or as soon as a church meets on a Sunday morning, you guys are already mature. Just kick back and enjoy, right? It says, like, nope, like, we got a journey ahead of us of maturing together, right? There's commands in there for us in that Ephesians passage, but there's also promises. And on a Wednesday night this summer, I was looking back at some photos, and we had this dry erase board right here, and we read those passages, and then we just had markers, and people in the room had time, and we just said, whatever promises you see in here, I want you to write them down. And so I'm going to hand out a sheet of paper. I need some help, but I've got sheets of paper for everybody. And if I could get some helpers, Derek, would you help me, man? If you'll start kind of in the back and maybe make a buddy, and anybody else willing to start handing these out, come on up if you're willing. Yeah, thanks, April. And divide them out. So everybody needs one. Thank you, guys. So this sheet of paper, it's going to have those vision passages right there. I'm sorry the print is a little small. But then it's also going to have, these are the promises that group of people at Maywood said that night. So it's not like maybe exhaustive or perfect, but I just took word for word what did Maywood people say about this. So as you're getting those sheets, it's going to say promises, okay? Now, in a second, I'm going to read those promises, but then when I come around with the microphone, here's what I want us to do. I want to hear from a few of you, like, how has Jesus been a man of his word with that promise that you've seen? So maybe Stephanie's going to say a way that Chad showed Jesus fulfilling one of those promises, right? Or maybe Alan is going to say a way that Rusty fulfilled one of those promises, right? Or Jeff's going to say a way that Mallory fulfilled one of them, right? Or something you've seen. And it could be from the past, right? It could be from 10 years ago. But as I'm going around the microphone, I want you to say, like, Jesus fulfilled, pick one of these promises, and then tell us how. We're going to get to hear from more people if we can be short. I hate to shorten you up, but, like, it's going to determine how many people we get to talk to. So, but I want to hear from you guys. Here's the promises that Maywood folks wrote down. Jesus is with us till the end. And maybe you've experienced that or you've seen that at Maywood. Jesus has all authority. Jesus wants us to make disciples and teach others. Jesus gives us his name to baptize. Grace, God's gifts, are given to each one as Jesus apportioned. It is possible to reach unity, the fullness of Jesus. Jesus understands us. Jesus gives leaders to equip people for service, to build up. Knowledge of Jesus is available. So what I want you to do is say, like, yeah, I've seen that promise play out. Chad, are you coming for this? You going to the bathroom? Okay, I'm going to let Chad go. He already came up the other day, right? So Jason, I'm coming to you first, man. Putting a hot mic in your hand. Yeah, so.
No pressure, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, so the one I was looking at is Jesus has all authority. Like, no matter what happens in this life, God is still in control.
Yeah.
With all the small things in our life and all the large things in the world, this isn't it. When this all passes away, if we accept Christ, we get to live forever in eternity with Jesus. And so that's what I stand on, and we're undefeated if we believe that. We're not defeated like this world. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. I've got a little activity for us. If you see that little tiny one and two on the right there, we're going to wrap up with this. If we go to this next slide, and then we'll finish with a verse. So one more slide, sorry. So number one is look at all those promises, and maybe there's one in particular that sticks out to you, but I want you to finish this sentence. Because I believe these promises, I will believe is great, right? And maybe you hear something from the Holy Spirit right in this moment, just like we're talking about. He didn't leave us alone. And maybe you just have a guess, right? But when you see something like, it is possible to reach unity, the fullness of Jesus, like, if you believe that, you'll try to do things when it seems like it's not going to work in a worldly way, right? Like, you'll try to reach out to the person or try to meet with them, and you have more hope than somebody who doesn't know Jesus, and it shows itself in a phone call or reaching out or getting together, right? Could be something different from this list, right? Could be that Jesus has all authority, so I will pray about that situation instead of worrying about it, right? There could be lots of different answers, but I want you to answer that, and I will give you a tip. As your pastor, I'm called to equip you guys. It is much better to say something specific that you can do before the sun goes down today than it is to say something giant that will fix your whole life in the next 5 years. Like, it's just a tip, right? Like, just do something today is better than like a giant plan with a vague, when is it going to start? Okay, so because I believe this promise or these promises, I will, and write something, right? And write something you're going to really do, even if it's small. Okay? And then number two is, like, why on earth would we try to follow Jesus by ourselves when we're in a room of people that want to follow Jesus? I mean, if you're watching online and you're by yourself, you could talk in the comments or something, right, if you're on Facebook. But I want you, before you leave this room, to say, like, I'm going to team up with somebody else in the room and we're going to pray for each other. We're going to share, like, this is the promise I'm trying to live out. Would you please pray for me about it? And I'll pray for you about it, right? Like, we don't have to go it alone, right? We're better off trying to help each other. If you have a way to get in touch with each other, you can ask. Or you can see them on Wednesday or see them next Sunday. Say, how did it go? And even if it didn't go good, like, there's a victory in, like, somebody remembered and you talked about it, and you can try again, right? So that's our idea. Last thought, an angel came to Mary and talked about God. This is somebody who, like, physically has been with God and could tell Mary all sorts of things about God. But here's, I think, where Mary picked up this faith, or at least it encouraged her faith. A little bit earlier, when the angel talked to Mary, he said, this is our last verse on this next slide. Maybe. I can look it up for us. Luke chapter 1 is where we're at. It says, for no word from God will ever fail. Right? So, like, you see where, like, angels don't lie, right? Like, we don't get to hear a lot from angels, but when they tell us something, like, that's true. So if God's told you something, like, it's going to come, right? So I want to pray a blessing on you, but don't leave the room without saying, hey, will you be my prayer partner to somebody, okay? Let's pray. Jesus, you promised to build your church, and you are the head of the church. You're the authority. Jesus, thank you for what you've done today, and we need your help to move forward. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.